CliffCentral.com.
That's the French DJ Kungs, K-U-N-G-S, Kungs, and This Girl. Very nice. That's Friday morning type music for you. All right, lots to get to today, and if you've just woken up and you've just started your day, awesome. It's Friday. Woohoo! The weekend is here. If you've got plans, let us know about it. Ruth says she's dancing and dancing all over her house this morning. Loves it. Dr. Robin, who we haven't heard from in a while, says that the Wild Women on the Run are launching a celebration of a decade tonight. How cool is that? That's 10 years of running on the Wild Coast, 10 years of fundraising for our charities. She says, I love my tribe of women. Yeah, it's really cool. So, Robin, we've spoken to her about this briefly once before. I mean, you know, I always say only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him. And that comes from the Bible. So you can't argue with me or with the Bible in this case, Robin. But she and her friends who do this Wild Women Run, they have raised, over the 10 years that they've been in existence, more than R1 million. And it goes to some really good causes. So well done. I think that's really worth celebrating. Hey, Robin, one thing you might want to do is go over to lottoland.co.za and become South Africa's newest billionaire, because this weekend there are a few massive draws to look at. Tomorrow morning, 5 a.m., the U.S. Mega Millions, currently standing at $5.6 billion, with a B, R5.6 billion. On Sunday, it's the U.S. Powerball that offers a payout of R6 billion. Imagine you wake up and you are South Africa's newest billionaire. Go and bet now at lottoland.co.za. They are, of course, a licensed bookmaker with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 are permitted to gamble. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line is 0800-006-008. So there we go. I mean, maybe Robin wants to, you know, win that, and then she doesn't have to run.
What's that number again?
The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line.
Yeah.
0800. You have a problem.
I think.
Have you been playing this a lot, Sia?
A lot.
Really, Sia? 0800-006-008.
Hey, a quick shout-out to Dr. Robin.
Yes.
I had lady problems, and she helped me out.
Did you
pregnant?
No. Is there a child on the way?
No, I'm not with child. It was a potentially disastrous situation as a result of having antibiotics.
Oh yes. A yeasty vagina.
Look, we stopped it before it got that far, okay?
The wrinkle that I just thought of and got.
Yes.
Yeasty vagina.
Yes.
No, we didn't get that far, I promise you.
Did you have to send her pictures?
No.
Did you do a FaceTime consultation?
No need. All
hey,
you
doctor,
need to do is mention...
Here's the...
Yeah. See, Leanne, I think that it's great. I mean, this is really nice of Dr. Robin, because...
It is.
I'm
so grateful.
My sister is an advocate, right? So she studied law and she practices law and all the rest of it. When I ask her for free advice, she gets really cross with me. And I think there's almost something right about that. But if someone is prepared to help you out for free, I think that's really amazing. Because...
Yeah, but you know what? When it comes
hard
to family, we've kind of got a rule with family. And that's if you think back to when that person was studying, there was probably a time that you supported them.
Oh, right.
As an older or younger sibling.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of owe you little favors.
Well, that doesn't happen. Not with my sister.
Yeah.
Really?
I ask her, I say this. Do you mind, Sans, just looking at this contract for me? Don't you know I have work?
Yeah, but listen, your sister's grumpy at the best of times.
So I just go, oh, you know what? Don't worry. It's fine. I'll go pay.
Yeah.
I'll pay a lawyer to do this. Thank you. Thanks so much for your help. Thank you. It's very nice of you. So I know better.
Don't come to me for help when you need it one day.
Or what, when she needs help with what, doing a podcast? What am I? I'm not a lawyer, a doctor. Oh, please.
Writing a speech for a wedding. I don't know. That's how I quantify what we do. That's
actually, if I think about how many times I've been asked to MC weddings or be someone's MC at a birthday or whatever.
See?
Yeah. I have said no to some of them. It really depends on how much I how well I know you, more than anything else.
I MC'd one wedding and they're now divorced.
Oh.
So I don't know if I should ever do that again.
No, it wasn't you. You weren't the poison. Don't worry. Unless you slept with the guy at the wedding.
Well.
You see, you have lived, as Sia says. All right. So yeah. I mentioned emails just before we went to break. And this is an email from one of our listeners this morning. It's going to be anonymous, but it's really interesting feedback. And we love a bit of that. So, hi, guys. I enjoy everybody on the show. I really do. I miss Pinky. Yes, Pinky's in the Cape and she's getting married soon. So her head is up her backside at the moment, as happens with many women when they're about to get married. My wedding. So, I mean, we can't even get a response from Pinky when we WhatsApp her at the moment. She's very busy weddinging.
Wedding.
Damon defies the odds and people want us to fill their boring preconceived idea of the perfect host. Damon is a whole lot of entertainment. It's funny, someone else told me that they loved Damon the other day. He really does polarize people. He's like Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Damon's stories of his mom and his family, including all the sicknesses that they have, are amazing. Yes, that's true.
Oh, gosh.
The variety of characters on this show is great because Bulelo and Damon are so different, but they're extremely similar because they exist at the wildest points on the spectrum. Bring in Gord and you have the Rainbow Nation galore. Everybody must just love what's going on. Shut the SABC and SAA down while you're at it. Did you guys come across the story of a Zimbabwean former football boss who tried to hop onto a plane with 6 kilograms of gold and then claimed she'd picked up the wrong bag? I didn't know about that. Did you guys read that story?
No.
No.
That's amazing. No. I wouldn't put it past anyone in Zim, though. You've got to try and get your money out if you're in Zim, right?
Yeah.
So it's not surprising someone 6 kilograms of gold in a bag. You know that they're going to find that, right? I mean, you know that you've got to put it through the scanner, right?
Yeah, you know it's a metal, right?
Yeah. It's got to be. I mean, if we can transport people across the border from Zimbabwe, then you can transport gold. You just got to find the right person to take it for you and pay them enough money. Maybe they get to keep 1 kilogram of the 6 kilograms. But now you've got to keep none.
It happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A mining boss in Zimbabwe has been arrested on allegations of attempting to smuggle the 6 kgs of gold to Dubai. Henrietta Rushwaya is 53 years old, and she was arrested at the Robert Mugabe International Airport after it was discovered through the scanners. Duh.
Wasn't Christo Visa, that rich man here in South Africa, wasn't he stopped on a flight to London once and he had like 2 million rand in cash in his bag? I think it was
that's
him.
Just every day for him. That's like going to the spa.
Or was it Johann Rupert? I can't remember. Anyway, so that's very interesting. Sure. Those people have such problems, eh?
Rushwaya, who's also a member of the ruling ZANU-PF party, is no stranger to controversy. As the Zimbabwe Football Association boss, she was the mastermind of Asiagate, a match-fixing scandal in 2012.
So she sounds very wholesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she was handed a lifetime ban from football. So this is all great.
Great. Shame. So she's been banned from football for trying to transport gold. That's interesting. All right, there's lots of stuff to talk about this morning. We can get into some of the news stories that Leanne and Sia have been keeping their eye on. Monwabisi says, find the right smuggler or a big hole on our border fence and you've got your gold. See, that's what I'm saying. I think Monwabisi and I should go into business. We should start a courier company for Zimbabweans who want to bring, you know, very expensive and valuable stuff across the border. What do you think, Sia?
Please leave me out of that.
Well, I will be. I've already scheduled a meeting with Monwabisi. We're going to start our business next week.
Oh, won't you look at that? I'm so booked and busy. Whole week. I'll make it.
No, all you have to do, listen, all you have to do, and this is one of the things, people always go, oh, so much corruption. Corruption. If you live in a corrupt place, and our country is a corrupt place, and sometimes, if there's no victim to the crime, and you get away with, like, for example, let's say nobody gets hurt. Let's say no one loses anything. But I make a deal with this woman that I can somehow smuggle her gold across the fence. And I get it right for her, and she pays me. Technically, we've broken laws, right? But no one's hurt. And that's where corruption, even if we paid off a, you know, a civil servant or something, I think that's where corruption is actually good. Because the alternative to that is living in Jacinda Ardern's New Zealand, where you're not even allowed to smoke weed. Would you like the rules? Okay. Here's where you got to decide, somewhere on that spectrum. You're either on the rules side, where everything is totally rules, and you're policed, and they watch you on camera, and you can't do this, you can't cross the street in places like New Zealand without someone calling the police, even if there's no one around. And then on the other hand, you've got like total anarchy, like the Congo, where there are no rules and nobody follows them. You got to find somewhere in between where you're comfortable. I'm in the middle somewhere. I can't figure out exactly where, because I hate rules. You know, I always rebel against rules. But you've got to have some of them, obviously. Otherwise, society falls apart. So you got to decide for yourself.
No, but don't call me to the scheme, because I'll actually be a liability. I'll be that person who.
No, you would be a total
talon.
You would be a talon. You would. I know what kind of person you were at school. You and Leanne, I love you both, you know this. But you and Leanne sat in the front of the class, the two of you. You were always friends with the teacher. You always knew all the answers, and you couldn't wait to put your hand up. Teacher, I know the answer. And if I sat at the back, which I often did, and I was throwing like papers at one of my friends or at a girl that I was interested in, then you'd be the one to tell the teacher. Because the teacher's back would be turned and they'd be writing something on the board and they'd go, who threw that? And Sia and Leanne would go,
It was Gareth. I definitely saw it was
You
Gareth.
Know what? I think Leanne admits it, so she's top tier. I was somewhere in the middle. Mm. But when it comes to something high pressure, don't involve me, because I won't willingly tell, but I'll break and cave, and you don't want me then on your team.
I don't know about that. I think you underestimate yourself. I've seen you under pressure. I mean, sometimes we'll have a guest drop out for the TV show on a Monday, and Sia will make things happen. He works well under pressure. You can handle things.
That's my job.
But not if you're hiding a lie. Yeah.
If you're hiding a lie.
That's something illegal. All right. Yeah, you don't want me on there.
All right.
So if any of you were considering getting into criminal
activity. All right, Monwabisi, we're going to have to cancel our plans of using Sia as the mule to get things across the border, because we thought you looked innocent and you'd be able to talk your way out of things, but now Monwabisi and I are going to have to find someone else.
I'd be the Dudumieni who ends up revealing facts that I shouldn't reveal, or even when I'm on trial. You know, they might not know that you also killed 6 people and you hid them on the farm because it's about gold. But I'll be like, yeah, so did you also check on the farm? Shallow graves there.
Monwabisi says, Sia, if you are part of our plan, you would be the person we would eventually sell out when the jig is up.
Yes, I see.
Yes.
Shame on you.
All right. May Gauteng be blessed with showers of rain this weekend. That's probably the first time Woody has ever sent a message that wasn't about his penis to the show. Isn't that great? Congratulations.
What a wholesome message.
No, it's wholesome. Totally wholesome. All right. A couple of other messages that are coming in this morning. Morning. We hope you've... Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. Sometimes when people add your number to a WhatsApp group and you don't know what it's about. That happened to me over the weekend as well. And whenever I see that, I just leave. Oh, you know who we've got joining us later on is Phil from DeWitt Motors. And we're also going to have George Meany, obviously, because it's Friday. So that's good stuff. If you are interested in cars, what we'll be asking Phil is that, you know, obviously it's that time of year where people are thinking about what next year might hold, whether they need a new car, what cars are coming to the market. It's lots of interesting stuff to talk to him about. That's coming up. And Elaine was listening to us on Tuesday, and Thursday. Pumi was telling us about her donation. She makes blood donations, right? And Elaine says, I'm O positive, and they literally want my blood all the time. It's not really that bad. I feel good afterwards. I feel like I've helped someone. We should all donate and save lives. Have a good day, Elaine. You go ahead, Elaine. You let them harvest your blood. Leave me the hell out of it. Thank you. Thank you. You know how I feel about that.
What happens to all the medications and things that are in my blood?
Oh,
or
no.
One's blood.
No, your blood. Tell you what, it'll eat through the bag that they put it in.
It's corrosive.
No, Leanne. How many pills
Will just have... No, I'm actually not on a lot. You know, I mean, considering...
Only three handfuls.
No. one, two, three. I'm on about six prescription medications, which are chronic, which I have every day of my...
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Joe Biden's only on three. Jesus.
You've crossed the Biden bar.
No, I bet you he's on lots more.
Taiwan Nick, who listens to us from Taiwan, says, hey guys, my plans for the weekend, rather, I'm chasing a typhoon for some surf tomorrow. Sure. Okay, so he's going to be on the waves, obviously. That's good news. Beth says, please donate blood. I wouldn't be here if people didn't donate.
Yeah. Sure.
Don't ask me. I mean, find someone else. That's all I'm saying. There are nice people out there who'll do it. you know, we have such interesting people listening to this show. I was talking on, I think it was Monday when we came back from the weekend, and I said how cool it would be to have a movie night outside, like those friends of mine did, where they made a big Christmas bed and put up a big screen and
Why is it called a Christmas bed?
I don't know. But it's just where everybody...
It's called a Christmas bug.
Yeah. I think it's just everybody gets onto like one big mattress or whatever. There are lots of blankets and bean bags or whatever it is. But the point is, the reason I'm bringing this up again is that one of our listeners, Rob, actually runs a business that will put up a screen and projector in your garden. And you can do that.
That's very cool.
Isn't that clever? People are so resourceful. You know, there's this guy, and let me give him a plug because he actually, it made me think that there's always a gap for someone to start a business. There's always something that needs doing and someone who can figure out a way to do it. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's so clever. I think it's called Movie Night. Let me just check. Because he emailed me out of the blue after we were talking about it the other day and said, hey, this is my business, by the way.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool? Oh, I think Robert Cunningham. So you can get hold of him. Movie Night. MovieNight.co.za. There we go. Yeah. And if he's on Instagram, it's Movie Night SA. So that's just something cool to think about. So don't let anyone spoil your dreams of being an entrepreneur. You can make anything into a business if you're clever enough. And I don't know whether he's in every city, but, you know, might be worth checking out. Okay, if you want to get hold of us, you can. What's going on in the news that you're interested in today, Leanne and Sia?
I don't know if you've seen the footage of the driver in Makanda, which is ex-Graham's town.
Yes.
Wakanda?
Makanda.
Wakanda, yeah.
Makanda.
Right, okay. That's so boring. Couldn't you just gone with us for that for
a second?
But
the footage, it looks like a... Sorry, I'd experienced a little delay there.
Yeah. It's for all your medication.
Sorry, Leanne, it just like distracted you so much.
I know, completely.
Yes.
Okay, completely. As you were.
Yes, yes.
As I was. So yeah. this video of this car in Makanda, which is ex-Graham's town, right?
Mm-hmm.
footage of, there's like just street camera footage of this traffic circle, and it's happened at 12:45 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And this car flies past the camera, meters above the ground. It's airborne over the traffic circle and lands into a chapel.
Oy, oy, oy.
It literally looks like Harry Potter's flying car.
Jesus, what happened? Did they figure out what actually went down?
I honestly don't know, but he did. There's still no reason as to why it happened. The guy is injured. I don't know how he survived, but they're obviously, you know, going to question him and see what happens. But it was this. It's this little peaceful town and this peaceful traffic circle, and this vehicle just flashes into shot.
Is it during the day or night?
Night, quarter to midnight. So
he was rushing home before curfew.
Yeah. Drunk as hell, because what else is there to do in Grahamstown, right?
Mm. Well, this is what I'm thinking, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, it's quite something to see. So if you search Makanda crash or Makanda driver, you'll be able to see the footage. It's incredible. My word, how anyone survived that, I have no idea.
Hey, you know what's happening today? It's the 80s show today, which Paolo and Dori do, and they're celebrating the fact that the show's been on live every Friday for a full year. So they will be playing songs that they've never played before on the 80s show. Another edition of I Can't Believe We Haven't Played That Yet. Expect to hear the B-52s, Madonna, Depeche Mode, Rod Stewart, lots more, plus Johnny Depp's Fall from Grace and a crazy story about the lengths two kids went to back in 1985 to meet Mr. T. Mr. T!
Mr. T! Mm-hmm. He came to South Africa once. Was it all of them or was it just him? I think it was just him.
That's brave of him during apartheid.
And you... He's Mr. T, you know.
Yeah, he didn't
He'll
give
do
a shit.
Anything.
He's like, he fuck, but he's fuck you, apartheid. So fuck you, apartheid government. I'm Mr. T.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. T scared of flying?
No.
His character.
B.A. Baracus from the A-Team was afraid of flying. Mr. T didn't give no shit. He was scared of nothing. I'm scared of nothing, Hannibal. I love Mr. T.
Yeah.
Like, I need to go back and discover, I think... Aretha Franklin was also scared of flying. Now, I can't remember if she didn't fly at all or she just hated the experience. But I know, like, when she was doing domestic performances, she never flew. She was old school in a tour bus up until her last, like, performances.
Hmm.
What a sad life if you don't
I wonder, know. Because on the A-Team with B.A. Baracus, they used to have to drug him. So they would literally carry him over their shoulder onto the plane. But it was never really a commercial flight. It was always these dodgy army little planes. But I wonder if you do have a person who needs to fly and is petrified, if you're allowed to drug them to that point.
Well, I mean, if...
With security and stuff now, you have to be compos mentis when you get on the plane, at least.
I mean, for security reasons, yeah, probably. But for medical reasons, if someone needed to be air-vacced somewhere, then I suppose they would just either knock them out with some, you know, some kind of anesthetic or something. Different ways to do it. Mm. I saw such
no,
a funny...
But also, it could look like you're abducting someone. Well, you could be abducting someone and then go, no,
she just doesn't
like flying.
We need to medevac her. There's nothing wrong here. Nothing to see here. It's not human trafficking, I promise. I saw such a funny video the other day of some dude, but he looks like he's a little bit screwed up. And he says, oh, I don't believe all that stuff about chloroform. And he's got like a rag with chloroform on it. And he puts it to his mouth and he breathes it in deeply. And then he goes, see, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, boy.
People are so dumb. But I mean, at least they're doing it to entertain us. I think it was on TikTok or something. So he probably deserves it.
What an idiot.
There was something else I needed to tell you. Oh, we recorded two new episodes of Blind History yesterday, and I think that these two might just be the most interesting ones.
Really?
I'm not going to tell you who they are. You'll have to wait and see. But Anthony Medora was so funny. He clearly has read a lot about this one person that we recorded about yesterday. And he made me laugh the whole way through the podcast, which is hilarious. Because I know a fair amount about politics, about history. But there's so many of these characters that I didn't even know about until I started researching them, which is a little bit embarrassing, but it's also exciting because it means that there's so much more I still have to read and so much more I still have to learn. And this honestly is one of the most fun things I've ever done. You know, it's work in that we record a podcast every week, and sometimes we do more than one a week. But it's so exciting to discover this stuff about people. People you sometimes didn't even know existed. So hang on for those. They're going to be fantastic. Hey, Phil, how the hell are you, dude?
Good morning. Morning, all.
That's a nice garden.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's a nice garden. Are you at home in Ermelo?
No, I'm in Pretoria, actually. Yeah, I'm here at my brother's place.
Very nice. Yeah. It looks good. It looks like a nice day.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Perfect for golf.
You play golf, right?
Yeah, I love it. Yes. Yeah. Pretty bad, but yeah.
Listen, I mean, the reason I don't play is because I think I'd be so bad that it would just frustrate me.
But you stay on a golf course. It's actually sad that you don't play. Eh?
No, I know, and I have to pay membership fees, but I've never used them, never put them to any use. So I suppose that makes it even more sad and ridiculous. So this morning we get a double dose of motoring updates for you. First up, we've got Philip Kutzer, who he's got his insights not only into electronic vehicles that I know he and George Meany both love. But there are lots of cars coming. I know that when November and December hit, it's usually quiet for you guys in the car dealerships. Why is that?
Well, good question. I mean, so it's all about the registration and the licensing date of a vehicle. So obviously if you wait a little bit longer until January, you're going to have a 2021 model instead of a 2020 model.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
That's right. So the day when you want to trade in your vehicle, it's basically a year younger. I mean, you're gonna if it's registered in 2021,
right?
Instead of 2020. But yeah, I mean, it depends from I believe from model to model. I think it makes more sense on more expensive vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. I think if you are doing quite high mileage per annum, let's say over 30,000, it's actually a good idea to register it in November, December. Because once again, if you trade it in your vehicle, the mileage will be distributed over less years.
Hey, tell me, while we're talking about mileage, because I've noticed, you know, certainly all the cars that I've driven that you've given me to drive, they're all, you know, really advanced and everything's electronic and all the rest. But are there still those crooks? Do you remember they used to catch them on carte blanche, those people who were able to turn the odometer back? You remember those oaks?
Yeah, give the car a haircut.
Yeah, because you obviously can't do that with an electronic,
No, I haven't seen it for a while, but I mean, it's definitely still possible. I mean, you'll just probably get an app now these days. I mean, in the past, I know you used to have a drill and then go into this little Y and then turn back the mileage, but I'm sure it's still possible today. But I mean, if you take your vehicle in for a service at I think most of the manufacturers, I mean, your service will get recorded onto your vehicle.
Exactly. So they keep a log.
Easily, I mean, you can't fake it that easily anymore as you used to do in the past. So,
do you guys at DeWitt Motors, do you service all your clients' cars? So they come to you when they need a service and you guys do it for them?
Well, yes, yeah. I mean, so if you've got a maintenance plan or service plan, you service to your closest dealership. So yeah.
Yeah, because often when I think about these dealerships, you often think that it's just about buying and selling cars, but you actually run a whole operation where you service the cars, you finance the cars, all of that stuff, right?
Correct. Yeah. So service and parts it's 2/3 of the business.
Yeah, it's huge. Okay, so I'm sad about that because that at least on carte blanche, they used to catch those oaks who did that. There was a fun episode to watch. But these days, I mean, because everything's electronic too, I mean, you have to do software upgrades and things when you do a service, right? Because they was bringing out new software packages for cars, kind of like with your phone.
That's right, yes. And it's become so advanced. I mean, if there's a software update, I mean, from Germany, I mean, you can go to Ermelo, for instance, and your software. But we can do it from all over the country. So it's and it will change your interface like the same as you do updates you get on your iPhone, for instance.
Yeah,
the interface will change on your vehicle as well. So yeah, it's awesome.
All right, I got a bunch of questions here from people who are listening about what kinds of new cars are arriving in South Africa in 2021-22. So tell us about what next year is going to bring.
Well, I think, yeah, so first off, we're getting new E-Class, which is in Germany, that's the bread and butter model for them.
Mm-hmm.
The E-Class, I mean, they use that specific vehicle for all the taxis and so on in Germany and across Europe. In South Africa, it's not doing so well as in Europe. But our bread and butter model is the C-Class, and which is the latest one that we actually assemble in South Africa. Then is London.
Amazing.
We also export to the rest of the world. So yeah, we're getting new C-Class next year, June, July. I think they've already stopped production in London with the current model.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about new C-Class.
You explained to us a while ago the difference between a facelift and when they actually bring out a new model.
Correct.
You said they do a facelift every 2 years and they do a new model every four or something, right?
Yeah, the lifespan of a vehicle is about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's 4 years facelift and then 3 years new shape. Okay. 4 years facelift, 3 years new shape.
I got the numbers wrong. So what about this new generation GLA? Tell me about that.
Yeah, GLA, we've just launched it recently, a couple of months ago. So yeah, well, excellent new GLA, same interface as the A-Class, which is fitted with your new MBUX, which is your interface and your intelligence in the vehicle, the one that you've driven as well with the Hey Mercedes and all the other.
Yeah, right.
Environment, yeah, which is new. So GLA is the same interface, same interior and so forth, and complete new body as well.
All right, cool. Very nice. And we've got to talk about the electric cars, but I kind of wanted to have George in on this one. Maybe he'll join us in a minute.
Yeah. One other vehicle we're launching is our flagship model, which is the S-Class.
Mm.
And I think you guys can Google it. We'll say, I mean, the interior of the S-Class is quite revolutionary. I mean, it's this massive screen in the center console of your vehicle, which is all touchscreen and so forth.
Mm.
And the C-Class is going to be the one we assemble in South Africa is going to be the baby S-Class. So it's going to look pretty similar from interior and exterior wise.
You know, I remember you talking about that S-Class the last time we spoke, and that is the kind of car that Sia, if he becomes very, very rich, he'll buy that car. And, you know, for example, if he won the lottery or if he marries well, because
Theo's going to sit in the back though, right?
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say.
Yeah, Phil, I was going to say it's a toss-up between 10 years of hard work or just 2 years of enduring a horrible relationship for a great divorce settlement. So I'm still just deciding. But once I do, I'll talk to you. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's see if we can organize you a driver. Or Gareth can drive you.
Josh. You remember that joke that they used to tell of when the Pope managed to persuade his driver? He said to him, please, I haven't driven in such a long time. You know, I'm the Pope. They don't let me drive. Please, can I drive? And the driver said, Your Holiness, it's really not safe. It's not a good idea. You know what the streets of Rome are like. And he said, oh, please, you know, I'm the Pope. I don't get to do this ever. So the driver eventually says, all right, you can. And and the Pope's driving down like one of the highways, and he's belting down the highway at like 200 kilometers an hour. And obviously the cops come up with a blue light behind him and they stop him. And, you know, the Italian police, so the policeman goes to the window and he knocks on the window, and the Pope puts down the window. The Pope's looking very nervous. The guy goes, oh, Your Holiness, I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. He said, no, my son, I realize I was speeding and feel very bad about it. And, you know, please forgive me. But Your Holiness, we're going to have to issue you a ticket. He says, yes, please. Here's the address at the Vatican and all the rest of it. He says, you know what, actually, Your Holiness, I can't do this. And he takes a ticket and he tears it up. And he goes back to his friend who's on the other bike and he says, what happened? I saw you tore up the ticket. He says, geez, you won't believe. It was, that was the Pope. He goes, what? I said, oh, the Pope. He goes, wow, that's amazing. Why did you tear up the ticket, though? He goes, well, if the Pope's driving, can you fucking imagine who's in the back? So, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's good.
That's a Sia situation. So I'll be driving Sia around. You know,
thank you. I feel special.
We were talking earlier about the, you know, one of the things that a president never gets to do, and they don't get to drive on public roads once they've been president of the United States. They actually have to relinquish that right because it's not safe for them, and their Secret Service detail drives them around and all the rest. So it's interesting, like things like the S-Class must be precisely the kind of car that people in you know, in that sort of position. And I know, like, some CEOs don't drive themselves around. They're too important to the company. And, you know, they have professional drivers. Do you go on any of those advanced driving courses and things?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I've gone on them quite often, yes. I mean, we do, like, customer days once a year where we drive customers. I mean, if you buy an AMG vehicle, you immediately get like a voucher to attend one of these days.
Wow.
And once you've been there, I mean, you will never drive the same. I mean, they actually teach you quite a few skills that will change the way you drive. I mean, the way you hold your steering wheel, it sounds that dumb, but I mean, if you've done the course on the track and so forth, I mean, you will never drive the same.
Yeah.
Safety-wise.
I've done the course myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Manufacturer.
I stupidly didn't collect my certificate, so I had no proof that I've done the course.
Well, in other words, it was in Phil, we don't have to believe her. She's probably making it.
Well, the certificate is actually a good point because you can use your certificate for insurance purposes.
Insurance, exactly. Ah. That's why I was interested in it. Okay. But yeah, I'll have to do it again.
Perfect. Yeah, let me know. I'll join you.
All right, so tell us about these electric cars quickly, and maybe we'll be in time for George to join us because I know he's a huge fan of electric cars. How do you feel about them, Phil?
Well, I'm excited about it. We should have launched our first I see George has joined, yeah.
Here he comes. Hello, George Meany. How are you?
I'm good, and you, Gareth?
Good. You've come in just in time. We're talking about electric cars, which I know is your favorite thing.
I've been listening.
So Phil was just about to tell us about something new that's coming. Go ahead, Phil.
How's it morning, Phil? George. How are you? Good and you, man.
Good, good.
Yeah, George, I think you're on top of everything, but yeah, we would have launched EQC right about in August, September this year, but COVID and everything moved out. So Mercedes-Benz South Africa have decided to launch all the EQ models in 2022. So we've unfortunately postponed it over the year. So yeah, I mean, let's call it 2022. We're going to launch the EQC then, which is on the platform of the GLC.
Right.
We launch EQA, which is not an electric A class. It's also based on the platform of the GLA.
Right.
EQA, EQB, again, it's not on the B class, but it's on the GLB. And then EQE is going to be the only sedan that's going to be a full electric.
So basically, all the different models of your cars are now going to be available in electric versions, almost all.
Correct, yeah. Wow. And, George, I've read your article as well. I mean, what's the date that you've mentioned there? It's 2035.
Well, the European dates, they vary, but roughly 2035, European countries won't be manufacturing ICE vehicles anymore, and they won't be accepting the imports of ICE vehicles anymore. So I suppose there's two things. One, Mercedes-Benz particularly, if you look at our page, I think it's 44 of our buyer's report, Mercedes-Benz ranks third. It ranks in the top three of most trusted EVs, which is good to see. So I reckon that you're launching just at the right time where I think South Africans are going to buy these things. But my concern is that because South Africa manufactures ICE vehicles and it's 7% of South African GDP, we're going to run into a GDP problem because we won't be able to export by 2035.
Well,
and Mercedes-Benz is one of them.
Maybe we should start manufacturing them too. I mean, that gives us 15 years from today. If we move really fast, in 15 years you can build up factories and infrastructure, and that gives an opportunity to people. I mean, I think that would be terrific.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, it's not only Mercedes. I mean, it's Mercedes, BMW, it's Volkswagen, it's Toyota.
Yeah.
So that's quite. I mean, that actually contributes quite a lot to our new car prices, because every vehicle we export to different countries, and in the beginning of the year, I think we exported around about 11,000 C classes per month to other countries, and for every vehicle we get like credits in whichever currency, and if that's going to happen, we won't be able to get that currency. We're going to pay a one-on-one on dollar, euro, pound vehicles if we import them. So
listen,
it's going to be a significant price as well.
Phil, your signal's dipping in and out a little bit, so I'm going to let you go if you don't mind. You can reach him and you can find out all about what there is on the market if you're interested in one of these electric cars. Maybe you can put your name down for when they become available. And of course, you can always find out more from De Wit Motors. You can find them on the internet. They are on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on LinkedIn. They're all over the place. And you'll be able to find out more at dewits.co.za. That's dewits.co.za, and ask for Phil, because he's in charge there. He'll sort you out. Thanks, man. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Cool, Phil. Cheers. Cheers, man. So, George, what's going on with you, man?
Well, alternatively, you can go onto autotrader.co.za/dealer/De Wit Motors, and you'll find all of his cars as well.
See, this is why we put you on together, because you guys are in the same line of work. And
Phil's a customer.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So you also want him to do well. All right, George, there's always interesting stuff on a Friday, and I love it when you're on the show because it means that the weekend is here. What do you got for us this week?
Well, I've got a bugbear. You know, how many circles do you navigate in the course of your driving week?
Oh, I've got a lot.
Oh my
gosh. Because
I know where you're going with this.
On the road outside my house, there are, just to get onto the sort of main road, there are like four.
Yeah. So, traffic circles over the last like years, it seems to have become did you just put that on his tail?
I topped it off.
What happened there?
Sorry, there was a cat who walked across my screen, and I cut her tail short with my file.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So you were saying?
Circles have become, you know, a thing of South African roads over the last probably 10 years.
Yeah.
But what I find is that people don't know how to navigate around a circle
reason. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, drives me mad. In Cape Town, they can. In Cape Town, they do it properly, but in Joburg, it's an issue.
It's an issue whichever. I mean, we've got lots of circles around this area, and people fly into a circle. Now, I mean, I suppose first off, the circle is there to aid traffic flow, so that you don't have to come to a stop. And so I thought I would just kind of discuss the rules of a circle, because it seems like people don't know how to navigate around a bloody circle.
Okay.
So the first thing is, when you enter a circle, and particularly if it's a one-lane circle, then it acts more like a yield, and you've got to be careful. You've got to yield to the right. So anybody coming from your right, you've got to give way for that person. So that's step number one.
Okay.
You can't fly into the circle. Step number two is, if it's a two-lane circle and two-lane roads, then there's a couple of other rules. The first one is, if you're in the left-hand lane, you can enter the circle and exit the first exit.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You have to exit on the first exit. You can't continue going around the outside of the circle.
So if you want to go on the outside, you have to go on the inside of the circle and then go to the second exit.
Yes. So if you want to go to the second exit, you enter the circle from the inner lane and you go around the circle, and then the second lane is what you exit on.
from
because
the inside.
Essentially, by then, the second lane will be open because first lane, because whoever was in there would have left.
Would have left the circle.
Sia is very confused.
I'm gonna put up a picture of this.
Okay. But no, I get it. So our most outer lane is the first exit.
Yes.
Second exit, inner lane.
Inner lane.
And then outer lane.
On the inner lane, you can exit at any exit. Effectively.
Yeah.
Except the first exit.
No, first exit is reserved for the guys on the left.
Got you.
So the thing is, if you're on the outer lane, you can't continue going around the circle because someone on the inner lane is going to crash into you.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you see, when you explain it that way, then I suddenly get it. Makes sense. Right. But to me, this all seems fairly obvious. It's not too complicated. The yield from the right thing, I don't think a lot of people get because most people treat circles like a four-way stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is incorrect.
Which is incorrect. Now, effectively, you shouldn't have to stop if you're taking the first exit. You shouldn't have to stop for a car on your right-hand side because theoretically there should be no car on the outer lane in the circle.
Yes.
Correct. See, even Sia gets this one.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
But that's if you simplify it to a single lane traffic circle. The way we tend to do it in Joburg is we cheat four-way stop. But the way it's supposed to work is you yield, you look to your right, and if there is a car, you stop, which is cool. Yep. We do that. But once that car starts coming, if there are more cars behind it, mm-hmm. you still have to wait.
Yes.
You don't just now go because it's your turn. Even if there are 40 cars to the right, you have to let them all through.
Oh, that's a crap. That is a crap system. I'm sorry.
No, it works out fine because somewhere along the line it breaks. There's a break because of the exits that it gives you a chance to go.
Okay, well
at some point
there's one person.
Listen, George is going to post
a picture. One person doesn't work like that.
I understand, but George is going to have to post a picture because lots of us, including Mark, say, "Listen, I don't understand this. Please put a picture up."
I will put a picture up.
George, what do you reckon the state of, this is a good question actually, the state of our roads in terms of road markings are? Because I've often driven around and you can't even see where the lanes on a certain road are. You can't tell around a circle whether it's a double or a single one. And we need to have good road markings, and some municipalities don't do their work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a big problem, Gareth. It's I think the municipalities, while they've got some of their systems and processes sorted, especially around things like billing, when it comes to actually sending teams out, they're very thin on the ground. They don't have the teams, and I heard the other day one municipality didn't have a supply of tar. it is a problem. So I mean, if they don't have a supply of tar, if they don't have a supply of paint, you know, they might have the people, but if they don't have the materials, well, you've got to ask yourself, well, where are these things?
I was going to say it's difficult to paint or do road markings over potholes. Right. You have to sort those out first.
Exactly.
Through the pothole. it is a challenge. When I drive around, I notice road markings disappearing. I mean, I do see teams of people doing road markings, but it is very few and far between.
Right. Okay. Handy stuff to know. Thank you, George. What else?
Well, tracking companies are warning of a new car theft scam. So be careful of this one. So two prominent vehicle tracking companies have warned that it seems like scamsters are phoning people up and saying that there is something wrong with your tracking unit in your vehicle. We have to come and repair it.
Oh.
And you know what happens when you allow that to happen, and it's a scamster.
Oh, boy. So how do you know for sure? Yeah. How can you be sure?
Well, the tracking companies say that their call center agents have to ask you verification questions.
stuff that other people will not know about you and about your tracking account. So, so make sure that you verify, that the person verifies that it's you. And then if you feel uneasy, hang up the phone and phone your tracking company back.
Mm-hmm.
I actually received on my security group, a notice of this, and they said the tracking companies are also, knocking on your door or your gate and saying, we've been sent by the tracking company, and in order to fix your tracker, we need to drive your car around the block. And then they just drive off with your car.
Yep. And
apparently the rule is that a tracking company, in order to fix your tracker, would not need to drive the car at all.
That is crazy.
You've got to be so vigilant, man. Yeah. All right.
Well, let's move on to a more lighter-hearted subject for a Friday. And my last story is different legal ages for driving in other countries. We know that in South Africa, you have to be 17 to get a learner's and 18 to get your driver's license. In Canada, they've just increased the age. It was 16 to get a driver's license. It's now 18.
Well, I know in Russia, you can get your driver's license at 7.
Because
are you being for real?
Someone's got to drive your drunk parents.
Exactly. You know? That's exactly right. The 7-year-olds are the only ones who aren't drunk already. They start getting drunk at 8, but at 7 you can get your license to drive your parents.
New Zealand, the legal driving age is 15.
Yeah.
Jeez, so you can get your learners at 14.
Probably at 14, wow. And you can get a license at 15. In Ethiopia, the legal driving age is 14.
Oh my.
That's amazing. I love that. I wonder what the statistics are for the number of really, really young people. Let's say you get your driver's license at 14 or 15 in these countries, and then you cause accidents.
Yeah. You can't tell me that somebody that starts driving at the age of 14 is as good as someone that has been driving for 10 years.
Well, obviously the insurance companies would know the answer to that. But I know, for example, you know, when I lived on a farm when I was a kid, and we had to learn how to drive around tractors and things like that. So you learn very young, and you might even drive around because you're on a farm and you've got maybe like a long driveway or whatever. You could learn to drive at a very young age and then get your license much later. But I mean, I could probably drive at 16.
I mean, I'm pretty sure kids can drive at a reasonably young age, but
you can't go, go public roads.
The amount of data coming at them in a real life scenario might be overwhelming.
Yeah, of course.
And then lastly, one country, Australia, has different driving ages for different places in Australia. So, for instance, Southern Australia, you can get a license at 16. Victoria, you can only get your license at 18. Queensland, you can get your license at 17. So what I wondered here, and I don't know the answer to this, what I wondered here is, what if you take a road trip across Australia at the age of 16 from South Australia, is your driver's license suddenly become invalid?
Good point.
Yeah, and what about the outback where nothing really applies?
Yeah, exactly. The outback where
the great spiders have way.
Or where your tires will just melt to the surface of the tar anyway.
There's a place in South Africa called Hot as Hell. Probably does the same thing.
George, yeah. Before you go, here's a question. It's very serious. This is a very serious question. All right. Can you go round and round and round and round on the inner lane at a circle?
I would imagine maybe you could, because the inner lane doesn't force you to exit. The outer lane does.
And you only have to stop when you vomit on your own steering wheel.
Oh, that's so good. I love it. All right, everybody.
I'll admit I've done that before when I've panicked about exiting a circle.
Just gone round and round.
Yeah.
No, seriously, up until I thought, like, okay, now the exit is clear, so let me just, now I can.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have to drive anywhere with you.
George, I have to say the past 2 weeks of your segment have given me great anxiety, because last week or the week before we were talking about parallel parking, you gave me anxiety, and now you also just reminded me I can't navigate a circle. Thank you.
All right, everybody. It's been fun. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you, George. And we will catch you on Monday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Ass. Thanks, Sia. And most especially,
happy weekend
to you. Yes, be good. Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com